Assassination of Political Opponents: A Growing Trend Across the World. By Richard Walker. Executive Order 12333 makes assassinations illegal, so recent American president sanctioned targeted killings, for which there was no legal impediment, believing the name change disguised the truth of their actions. Ultimately, the outcome was the same. The same game continued, but with one less chess piece on the board. The most recent high-profile assassination was ordered by President Donald Trump. He gave the command and applauded the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, the popular head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. Soleimani's death, like all major political assassinations, generated a desire for revenge. The FBI now fears that Iran has managed to insert potential assassins into the United States to strike at those it blames for the murder of Soleimani. Until Soleimani's killing in a drone strike, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama were in the business of what was termed targeted killings of terrorists, mostly carried out with the use of drones. The killings of members of groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, that also led to the deaths of innocent civilians, were never termed assassinations. The reason may well have been that the term assassination was not considered very artful, and, in the public mind, was associated with dirty Cold War conflicts waged in the shadows by intelligence services like the old Russian KGB, now the FSB, and the Central Intelligence Agency. The United States has been in the targeted killing business for some time. Bush and Obama ordered the assassinations of alleged terrorists across the globe, especially during the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Washington also supported Israel's campaign of assassination against Iranian nuclear scientists that was sometimes franchised out to Kurdish and Iraqi militias trained by the CIA and the Mossad, Israel's secret service. Russia has used assassinations to get rid of its enemies abroad. The KGB was renowned for developing unusual killing methods, so when it murdered people, it often made their deaths appear to be suicides or accidents. One of the most infamous killings carried out by the old KGB was of the Bulgarian dissident Georgi Markov. A KGB assassin used the tip of his umbrella to insert ricin, a lethal poison, into Markov's thigh on a wet, rainy night as Markov walked over London's Waterloo Bridge. In more recent times, Russia's enemies, some of them oligarchs who opposed Vladimir Putin and fled Russia, died mysteriously. Some appeared to commit suicide, others died of sudden heart attacks, and a few fell off hotel balconies. All the major powers are in the assassination game nowadays, and it appears that we are going to see more assassinations than at any time in the past, either for reasons of revenge, or because a nation wants to show another that none of its citizens is outside the reach of hidden killers. The problem is, when prominent figures are murdered, their allies and supporters feel they have the right to strike back. Israel has already announced to the world that it plans to launch a campaign to hunt down members of Hamas at a time of its choosing, irrespective of where the member of Hamas is based. The Israeli threat is real, and Turkey, a NATO member, has already warned Israel there will be serious consequences if Israeli assassins operate on its soil. In a sign that Turkey is not going to wait for Israel to act, it has rounded up dozens of Mossad assets it has accused of plotting to abduct or kill foreigners. In January, Turkey's Internal Security Service, in what it called Operation Mole, raided 57 locations across Turkey, including in Istanbul, and arrested a large number of people it suspected of working for the Mossad and carrying out surveillance on Israel's behalf. Since then, other raids have taken place in what appears to be a concerted effort by Turkey to let Israel know that it is closely watching its foreign intelligence operations. On February 2, Turkish agents arrested 7 people, alleging that Israel was recruiting foreigners in Turkey to photograph targets. Israel must be cautious. Killing people in a NATO nation would have serious political blowback from Europe, more so than from Washington. Other Middle East nations, such as Qatar and Egypt, that do not consider Hamas a terrorist organization, have put their security services on alert to watch for Mossad hit squads. Israel, too, like Russia, has been in the assassination business for a very long time. In 1953, the Mossad acquired an 8-page assassination manual drawn up by Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, chief of the CIA's Technical Services Branch. Gottlieb spent his life devising ways to kill people. Some in the CIA called him the torturer's apostle. In his spare time, he liked milking his personal herd of pedigree goats. The Mossad, however, quickly developed its own academy to train assassins to operate anywhere in the world, with backup from technical experts. By the 1990s, Mossad assassins were equipped with aerosols filled with nerve agents to spray on targets so that the manner of their deaths would be undetectable during subsequent autopsies. If Israel follows through with its threat of an extensive assassination campaign, one can expect a reaction in kind from its enemies. In 2006, the Russians are alleged to have sent assassins to Britain armed with a lethal nuclear ingredient, polonium-210, to kill former Russian intelligence officer Alexander Litvinenko. The assassins managed to put the poisonous substance in his tea. A decade later, Moscow almost killed another former Russian intelligence officer and his daughter in England, using the nerve agent Novichok. In Europe, the war in Ukraine has also led to both sides engaging in selective assassinations of prominent military figures, and there is no likelihood that will end anytime soon.